Let's begin not with a definition, but with a question. Have you ever walked into a room and felt something shift? Before a word was spoken, the air felt thicker, the looks lingered longer. Something unspoken passed between people, and it wasn't yours to name. You didn't know what it was, but you knew what it meant. Not welcome, not fully. We're starting here, in the moment before anything wrong has happened, because this course isn't about catching bias in the act. It's about learning to see the fog we breathe. My name is Andre Barburas. If you've listened to Kobayashi Maru or The Manosphere or any other of my courses, you already know this won't be a slideshow. There are no bullet points here, only pauses, reflections, and the quiet invitation to walk through the uncomfortable spaces most people skip. This is not a crash course in political correctness. This is about perception and how ours, mine, yours, everyone's, is shaped long before we realize we're perceiving anything at all. When people hear the word bias, they tense up. It sounds like a judgment. But here's the truth. Bias isn't a moral failure. It's a mental shortcut. Your brain filters thousands of signals per second. It makes assumptions so fast, you don't even notice. Is this person safe? Is this familiar? Is this good? Those shortcuts aren't bad. They are how we survive. But when they go unexamined, they don't just filter reality, they distort it. Imagine you're holding a camera. You raise it to your eye and take a photo. But what if the lens itself has a subtle tint? What if it's cracked and everything looks just a little more jagged than it is? You'd never know unless someone handed you a clean lens. That's bias. It's not about what you're trying to see. It's about what your lens lets in and what it leaves out. Bias doesn't begin when we're adults. It begins before we can speak, before we understand language. We understand pattern, faces, voices, what gets rewarded, what gets ignored. By the time we learn the word fair, we've already internalized who deserves attention and who doesn't. That's the cruelty of unconscious bias. It doesn't wait for your permission. It just starts shaping. Unconscious doesn't mean hidden. It means automated, running beneath your awareness like a script you didn't write, but still follow. And because it feels natural, you mistake it for truth. This is how someone can believe they're being objective while their decisions trace the same old grooves as everyone before them. We like to believe we're neutral, that we evaluate people based on merit. But merit itself is a story. And some people were written into that story as the main characters, while others were only ever background. When you say, "She just didn't seem like a good fit," what does that actually mean? Who does she have to fit into? And who built the mold? Unconscious bias doesn't always shout. Sometimes it whispers. It's the hesitation before pronouncing a name you haven't seen before. The way you lower your voice when a certain group walks by. The assumption that someone speaks well for their background. The joke that isn't really funny, but gets a pass because nobody wants to make it awkward. It doesn't always show up as hate. Sometimes it shows up as comfort, and who is allowed to feel it? Here's something simple. Researchers sent out identical resumes. Same experience, same education, same formatting. One set had white-sounding names, the other had black-sounding names. Guess which ones got more callbacks? This isn't a trick question, it's a mirror, and the reflection is sharp. Bias isn't just about what you do, it's about what you don't do, who you don't mentor, who you don't interrupt when they're being sidelined, whose ideas you don't challenge, and whose you challenge instinctively. The bias isn't always in your action. Sometimes it hides in your omission. For some, unconscious bias is a theory, an academic idea, a TED talk. For others, it's a daily friction. Not enough to stop you, but always enough to slow you down. Here's the irony. The people who are most affected by bias are often the ones expected to prove it exists, while the ones most insulated from it get to ask for more evidence. Bias doesn't float alone. It's fed by culture, by movies, jokes, memes, histories half told. You don't need to be taught to discriminate. You just need to grow up in a world where certain faces always play the villain, where certain accents get mocked, where beauty looks a particular way, and intelligence has a uniform. That's not your fault, but it's still your responsibility to notice. Here's something hard to hold. You can be a good person and still have unconscious bias. You can care deeply and still exclude without realizing it. Because the system doesn't need you to be cruel. It just needs you to follow the default. And the default was never neutral. Your mind is not the enemy here. Bias happens because your brain is fast, too fast. It loves patterns. It seeks safety. It fills in blanks. The problem is, some of those blanks were filled by fear, by scarcity, by stories that were never true, but repeated enough to feel real. So let's stop here. Take a breath. Let the fog become visible. What patterns do you follow without question? What instincts do you trust without checking? Where might you be seeing through a cracked lens? You're not broken, but you are biased. We all are. And this is where change begins, not with blame, but with vision. Have you ever just had a feeling about someone? Not based on anything specific, just a gut reaction. That feeling might not be yours. It could be your grandmother's warnings, a headline you half read, 100 casting choices in films you forgot you watched. Bias is sneaky like that. It wears the costume of instinct. It arrives as confidence, but underneath, it's a hand-me-down. Daniel Kahneman called it System 1 and System 2. Fast thinking versus slow thinking. Bias lives in the fast lane. Snap judgments, microsecond categorization. Your brain makes up its mind before your values even get out of bed. So to catch it, you need to slow down. Not forever, just enough. Long enough to interrupt the reflex and ask, where did that come from? Bias often disguises itself as caution. Better safe than sorry. Just playing the odds. It's nothing personal. But every time you play it safe, by assuming who's competent, who's dangerous, who fits, someone else pays the price for your comfort. And the tragedy, you probably never even knew you made the choice. A black man walks into a high-end store. Security watches him closely. Another man, white, in a hoodie, ignored. Neither did anything, neither said a word. But only one was marked for suspicion, not by law, not by policy, but by pattern. A pattern trained, repeated, and left unchecked. You don't need evidence to feel biased. That's the whole point. You just need a trigger, a name, a hairstyle, a posture, an accent. Bias fills in the rest, with stories you didn't even know you remembered. When you first start to see your own bias, it stings. You catch yourself mid-thought, mid-assumption, mid-judgment. And part of you wants to shut it down. I didn't mean that. That's not who I am. That's not fair. But that pain, that's the edge of awareness. That's where growth lives. People hate being told they're biased. It feels like an attack, a stain on character, a mark of shame. But unconscious bias isn't about your soul. It's about your software. And calling it out, in yourself or others, isn't an insult. It's maintenance. Watch how society treats people. Some get to make mistakes. They're just having a bad day, just tired, just misunderstood. Others, one mistake becomes a verdict, a stereotype confirmed, a warning reinforced. Bias decides who gets grace and who gets watched. It's tempting to think of bias as a slip, a one-off moment of misjudgment. But bias isn't one moment. It's a system, a current you're swimming in, whether you want to or not. And even if you mean well, if you're not actively paddling against that current, you're still moving with it. We talk about blind spots like they're blank, but they're not. They're filled with guesses, assumptions, secondhand stories. You don't just fail to see, you fill in what's not there. And the problem is, you trust that fill-in as if it were truth. Some of the most painful bias doesn't come from hate. It comes from carelessness, from someone who thought they were being helpful, complimentary, curious. Intent is not the same as impact, and good intentions don't erase real harm. Bias isn't just about policies and pay gaps. It's about who gets interrupted, who gets heard, who gets invited to the informal conversation after the meeting. It lives in who's assumed competent and who has to prove it again and again. It's not always loud, but it's always there. Think of bias like a cracked mirror. You look into it and you think you're seeing clearly, but the fracture distorts every face, including your own. The danger isn't the mirror, it's forgetting that it's cracked. You cannot dismantle what you won't acknowledge, and you cannot change what you won't name. This isn't about guilt, it's about clarity. Because once you see the fog, you can start choosing your path through it, not automatically, but intentionally. So let this be your starting point, not to become perfect, but to become aware. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to catch yourself late. You're going to learn things you wish you'd known years ago. That's not failure. That's the path. Welcome to it.